Welcome to Shollycast, the podcast all about Lolly and Shota, including Not Safe for Work. Shollycast is hosted by me, Hydro, and Dr. X. Together, we make up Team CyberHex. We're the developers of Insexual Awakening 1 and 2, an adult visual novel game where you play as a Shota protagonist and get into all sorts of wholesome, naughty fun with friends and family. I primarily work on the writing and planning for our games, and Dr. X works on the programming, artwork, and additional writing. If you'd like to play Insexual Awakening 1 or 2, you can download them at our official Barag at barag.net/cyberhex. You can also check out our continued development progress of Insexual Awakening 2 at our Subscribestar, which is subscribestar.adult/cyberhex.
Okay, so today we have Meow34 on the podcast. What can you tell us about yourself, Meow?
Well, I am a audio... Audio editor! That's the freaking word for it. Yeah, I'm an audio editor. As you can probably tell right now, I'm also a minor alcoholic. I also like to voice act a little bit, mainly just like, you know, femboy characters or whatever. I am a manager for a creator you probably know as Bitty Cat, slash Yono, slash whatever the hell you know her as. I am the one who kind of just puts everything together, like the planner, mastermind, whatever the fuck you want to say. And I am a musician, so I like to play music. I like to sing, and that's like my main instrument is my voice right now, that I'm mainly practicing. And so far, that kind of sums up my whole entire personality, unless you want to include comedy. I don't think I'm funny, but everyone else thinks that does. It thinks I am. I think that's kind of fucking bullshit and stupid, but c'est la vie. Yeah.
Cool. So it sounds like you have like a bunch of different talents and stuff. That's, I didn't know that about you yet.
Oh yeah. Not a lot of people do.
Yeah. So like, since this is Shollycast, of course, we have to ask, how did you get into Shota or Lolly?
I got into Shota and Lolly from... Oh man, are you sure I'm a good person to interview? I got into it through other people talking about it.
Like, and I also heard that you were like, you played IA, like, did you just hear it from your friends?
No, actually, I actually was interested in an idea that I had when I was, you know, small, not small. When I was a Shota boy myself, I was interested in an idea that was like, hey, what if there was this really cool type of porn, but it was also a game? And I was like, man, this is like actually a really cool idea. Before I make it myself, how about I see if anyone has actually fulfilled this role? There was very few. I found out there's very few. I didn't have a computer, because, you know, my ass is poor. But I had an Android phone. And I was like, all right, let me just look it up. So one of the very few that I actually ran across at the time was IA. And I found it through the site. It was porting all these games into Android compatible things. And I found it on this website that was meant for things to play on Android. I think it was called like APK games or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, I was like, wow, yeah. Android files, yep.
Yeah. And I just like downloaded it. I was just like, man, all right, let me judge this shit. And to my surprise, because it was such a new idea to me, it was actually super freaking good. It was like one of the best things I've ever played in my life relating to like Shota and Lolly things. And so I just like played it, kept playing it. And like at this time, from what I am now very recently realizing, this was like a beta. This wasn't like the full game, which is like what I thought it was. This was a beta. And I kept playing. I was like, wow, like I love the art style. I love the story. I especially love the story. I love the attitude. I love all these separate things. I'm just like, man, this really hits the freaking mark. It's like loot is wholesome. This is amazing. And so I kept looking into it, and then I was just like, man, these developers are pretty cool. What the fuck? But at the time, I actually was never able to find the Discord until like, I think, what was it, this year or last year? I forget.
Yeah, because the original IA did not actually have a Discord link like we do on IA2. Like IA2 on the main menu has a Discord link, but back then, because of all the stupid crap with Patreon and stuff,
we didn't
want to deal with them and have our Discord get any kind of issues. Like now, of course, if we ever like were to update the game or like tweak things, we probably would put like links to our subscribe star and Discord and stuff on the main menu.
And we do have plans to update the game and it would also be fun to eventually have a physical special edition of the game.
That would come so cool. And of course have an official Android version, because the version you were playing, Meow, was basically like the unofficial, like ported version.
And
I've heard of different people having issues with the Android version. So for those of you that have played the original IA on Android, just so you know, that's not our fault, because we don't have an official Android version yet, but we would like to make one.
Oh my God. Okay. So just saying right now, you totally should, because the market for mobile games, especially lewd mobile games now, is really freaking big.
So
I would work on that.
I didn't know about that at the time. Like, I didn't realize just how huge the Android market was. Like, not just in the United States, but globally. Because that's what we kind of found out, was that the reason why so many people wanted an Android version is because they were from a country outside of the United States where they either didn't have a computer, but they had like a tablet or a phone or something. And so, we really want to do that. Or we certainly like to.
Since I grew up poor and stuff, and I was like, you know, really in like the boon, well, not the boons, like the streets or whatever, we weren't really able to afford computers a lot. And so I was like living the third world in the USA, but like that gave me contact and like relations with a bunch of people that were actually not from the US and like actually third world, actually like anything that was below us. And the sheer amount of people I met like that, especially that were even into this stuff, was like, it was massive. Like when you actually think about like the United States, there's only like what, 300 million people. The rest of the world, that's so much. That's like in the billions. It's definitely huge for that reason. It's like a population reason.
Oh yeah. And that's the reason why with IA2, we did make an Android version. And, you know, we were trying to be as, like, careful as possible to make it so that anybody could play it and, you know, anybody could just download it. So we're definitely glad that we took that advantage of making it officially Android for IA2.
That's right. I bet you are.
And I think we also did... Like, you know, just to bring back to that point, they're talking about like a bunch of people like overseas liking Shota or Lolly. Apparently, IA is like very popular with Spanish speakers.
Yes, it is. I am Mexican myself.
Like on the statistic, like for our subscribe star, we do have people from different countries and stuff that support us, which is pretty cool. So they're like all over from Europe and South America and from Japan, and pretty cool.
Yeah, so something I've actually had an issue with recently, which explains a lot about why there would be a big Latino audience, is that when running or trying to run lootyheaven.com, there's a bunch of laws in place and laws I actually have to fulfill, things like that. So one of the main laws is the laws having to do with, you know, LollyCon, ShotaCon, and this kind of stuff. and what represents, quote unquote, a minor, where you can get arrested, blah, 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 all that stuff. So a lot of those laws are in almost every single country in the world, which I am very displeased about. But one of the main ones or group of countries that is not so hell-bent on demonizing this is South American and Central American countries. So taking that in note, that is where I actually plan to go to host like a physical server, because it is, despite the crime, despite the infamy or whatever, it is actually one of the safest places to have uncensored versions of these things and like uncensored hosts. And the locals in those places agree with this, and they have the logic that's like, hey, this isn't really a bad thing, this is just fucking fantasy, right? And that's a huge reason why a lot of us have actually gravitated towards, like, say, in your instance, IA, which was like one of the biggest for us. And a lot of other things, like, you know, freaking ATF, things like that.
Now, you mentioned lootyheaven.com, and we had talked about this before the podcast started, but can you let the can you tell the audience about what lootyheaven.com is?
Right, yes.
How it came about and stuff like that.
So lootyheaven.com is a website that me and Bitty Cat developed together. It's less so like kind of like from the ground up. It's actually a Mastodon server that uses that kind of network and stuff. But its purpose is to let people kind of say whatever the hell they want. So the main audience of it is Lolly and Shota, you know, lovers and curators, things like that. So long as things aren't breaking the United States law, you can say whatever you want. And that is the thing that we're trying to fill the void with lootyheaven.com. So a bunch of lolly posters, a bunch of shit posters as well. Just things like that. Like, think of 4chan, but like baby version. And not as fucked up.
Oh, so it actually like has a forum and like a message board. Or is it more like Barag, where it's kind of like a Twitter feed?
Yeah. It's more like Barag. But it has like the behavior and mindset of 4chan, just like less freaking toxic, man.
Interesting. So that's going to be cool, because you're going to, because, you know, we were also talking about how we have Barag, we've got Athey, and now, you know, if Looty Heaven can also get going too, that'll just be another avenue for Lolly and Shota fans and creators to go on, basically.
That's the plan.
That's super cool.
Like, maybe it's a little ambitious, but, you know, I don't really have shame in the matter. I actually do intend for it to be the biggest one. Maybe bigger than freaking Barag. I don't freaking know. It depends on the psychology of the people that actually use it. But it's the psychology of people that is the part that I'm actually focusing on. It's, you know, people's minds, people's desires, blah, 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 blah. Like, that's like my main focus. And that's the thing I've actually been trained in for like years. So I'm really trying to bring about, like, you know, the whole marketing method, marketing strategies, psychological strategies to like keep people in. Who knows? It could actually turn up to be a total piece of dirt. You never know.
Well, it's interesting that you talk about marketing strategies and like how to get people interested in different stuff, because it makes me think about when I created IA. Because you had mentioned that you're kind of like a planner and you know, have ideas yourself, and like you had thought about basically a visual novel game that you wish you could have seen, like IA, and you were able to discover it and stuff like that. And, you know, I feel like marketing is always like kind of a balancing act between creating stuff that people will be interested in and then getting like the advertisement to kind of pay for itself, meaning that you get word of mouth, you get people talking to other people. And that's kind of what happened with IA. Speaking of 4chan, which I can't remember, I think we had talked about this before, but it was pretty funny. When IA first got released, which was all the way back, I think, in 2017 or 2018, what happened was, is during the first month or two, it had some fans that we were getting early on and people who were enjoying it, and we had our server. But then what happened was the game got shared on 4chan, and it got so popular, or at least it got so many like searches and stuff on our Patreon, that when you would type in Patreon on Google, the banner for IA would come up as kind of like the highlight like page.
Yeah, that shit, it was scary, man.
It was a little scary.
I bet. Oh, no.
but it was one of those things where, like, we didn't do anything. Like, we posted it on, like, F95. We posted it on, let's see, at the time, it would have been F95 and some Discord servers.
Probably Shota-chan.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's right. Shota-chan. All the Fallen. And so it was only, like, you know, a handful of sites. But somehow it happened to gain enough momentum where it just started getting shared all over the place.
Yeah, see, that's what I was trying to tell you, though, is because what you guys were doing, it was not just marketing. It wasn't just any of this, any of that. It was like fulfilling a whole entire demand. And it's something people have been thirsting for, I guess you could say, basically the beginning of the 2010s. And like, it had never been fulfilled until, like, basically you guys showed up and it's like, hey, this is a cool idea. How about let's do this, but actually make it clever, you know, actually put some strategy into it. And like, when you combined a demand and marketing at the same time, whew, no, you're fine. You are set.
Well, I know that there definitely are voids that were there, and one of the things was, is there simply were hardly any Western, like, meaning United States based or Western part of the world, games that were visual novels that involved Lolly and Shota. They just did not exist, or if they did exist, they were considered Shota adjacent, aka not Shotas. But the thing that I think is lacking, in my opinion, and this is the reason why I really enjoy you know, Bitty Cat and you for creating like these different sites, is there is a severe lack of Lolly and Shota voice actors.
Oh, it's starved as hell. Yeah.
And what would be awesome is to have a place where those kinds of voice actors could be easily found and easily like hired to do stuff, because I can't tell you how many times I've had other content creators that have been looking for somebody to voice a Shota, somebody to voice a Lolly, and they just cannot find them because it is so difficult to track them down. Not so much because they're trying to hide themselves. It's more like they just get banned, or they can't advertise themselves, or they get harassed. And so it becomes very difficult to network. And that's what we were actually just talking about earlier, was how important networking is.
It is. And let me tell you something. Okay. So did Bitty Cat ever tell you guys how Ludi Heaven started?
I don't think so. No.
Okay. Well, let me give you a very short history lesson. Ludi Heaven was created out of an idea, not out of this like Lolly Shota. It was actually out of voice acting. Pure voice acting for taboo things.
So Ludi Heaven, essentially, you came up with more so as like a voice acting space to begin with, is what you're saying.
Exactly. The problem was at the time with Ludi Heaven is that we were still young. Like we were still like beginning. We were babies or whatever. And with me and how I know things work, I decided that, hey, over time, we did the same thing. But over time, I said, hey, Biddy, how about we grow ourselves a little bit more and get a few more connections, make a few more audience members, maybe 5K? Who knows? C'est la vie. Let's garner attention first, but we decide to reel it back a little bit, make it about Biddy herself, you know, and Biddy's Discord herself for, it's almost been a year now, but pretty soon here, have Lolly and Shota voice actors and have whole entire sections for them, specifically because there is such a high demand. I don't necessarily want to be the person who's like the first or whatever. I don't really care about the first. I care about being the person who is letting the first person happen. So creating a space for that person. And so far right now, the person, maybe not first, but close to first, is right now Biddy Cat. And I want to also be the person who provides the second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth, etc., for any other Lolly Shota voice actor that comes along. So ludiheaven.com back then, before it got shut down recently, was supposed to be an experimental space to let that happen and to like see how things worked, see how things formed, and what people would do relating to this. And it actually sparked not many, but like one or two people to do the exact same thing that Biddy was doing, voicing over captions, doing young voices, etc. So now that we are on track, and this is going more into the future of Ludi Heaven, this is kind of where we're leading, is back to like square one, but with the right tools in place.
Well, I think you're really onto something huge, because there really is no, like, I get what you're saying. Like, you don't necessarily want to, you know, be saying, oh, well, we're the first site that's really ever created. It's like, no, it's more like voice actors will gravitate to your site, Ludi Heaven, if they know it can be like a central hub where people can go to be like, man, I just did this animation, or I need someone to voice a character for my game who's a Lolly or Shota, but where am I going to find a voice actor for that? Because I can't find any. And then all of a sudden they go, wait a second, I can go to Ludi Heaven. Or somebody says to them, hey, have you ever checked out Ludi Heaven? That actually is the place where all these people go. That would be huge. And I think that would be awesome if you can establish that and start getting more voice actors there, because I think if you can start off having just a handful of good voice actors there who are always creating new material and kind of churning out different voice acted clips and animations and stuff, you're going to naturally get more, I think, artists and more voice actors to go there, that it was seeking, hopefully, commissions from other people who visit the site.
Yeah, so something I've always told Biddy is that she shouldn't necessarily focus on being the first, because when you go into a market, being the first doesn't necessarily mean being the best. And oftentimes the first person does all the mistakes. The second person is the person that fixes those mistakes and makes something legendary. So it's what I've been teaching her, because she's already made a ton of mistakes relating to that, but I'm not letting her take the first title because I want to reserve that for her or someone else so that she can then take the place of the best, which is hopefully, fingers crossed, soon to come.
I wish you a lot of luck for that. And it would be useful for us as well, because we do eventually want to have voice acting in our games. I'm not guaranteeing anything, but it would be interesting, Hydro, if we had voice acting in the special edition of IA or something.
Oh, that'd certainly be super cool. But, you know, we can't, obviously, it's more of a speculative thing with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly. Just like spitballing ideas and stuff. It would be fun if it was we could just do the Fire Emblem or like Persona way, where they kind of have like little
short phrases.
Exactly. Yeah.
Can I intervene here just one simple second?
Sure.
So a habit that me and Biddy have, and just so you know, this is 100% clarity, shameless promotion. but me and Biddy have been known to do things not necessarily for free, but at a very severely and almost unfair discounted price, and we'll actually do demos, like really super freaking long demos for free. That's actually something she's working on right now for another project person that's making stuff out of Genshin characters. So if you guys want to simply test that idea out, we wouldn't mind doing that completely for free for you guys.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely no problem.
That's very nice of you and Biddy. And is that right that Biddy is she currently taking commissions for like if someone is listening to the podcast, right? They want to commission her for some voice acting work. Is she currently taking them?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, sweet. So if anyone listening to this needs a Lolly voice actress, I think she can do Shota voices as well.
She can do Shota's pretty good too.
Yeah, she can.
So if you need a Lolly or Shota voice, be sure to contact Biddy / Nyonyo.
Yes, because I think, I've always like imagined how fun it would be to have different characters voiced in our IA games. And, you know, one of the challenges that we face is not just finding voice actors who would do Shota and Lolly, but also voice actors who would voice, you know, the older characters, the MILFs and stuff like that, who are comfortable with a game like IA, and then that's also equally difficult. So it's not just necessarily, I think, in my opinion anyway, Meow, is in for Ludi Heaven, you should be open to not just Lolly and Shota voice actors, but also the voice actors that I've seen like on certain websites that used to be up, where they would kind of role play as like a mom or you know, like a MILF character, you know, and they're fooling around with like a Shota or something like that. They also need a place to go as well to do their voice acting.
Yeah, so... And if you want, you can censor this name. I don't really care personally because we're both not affiliated yet. But there's this person called Mahalo Marcy. And that is someone who actually started this whole voice acting scene of what she considered to be the AP roleplay voice acting scene. She was like the mother of it all. She was the one who got me into almost everything taboo, particularly relating to this kind of fantasy stuff. So when it comes to voice actors, that is something that I in particular look for really, really deeply and almost neediedly. Because for me, and as a person that loves voice acting, that loves creation and art, in all honesty, like I already have the Lolly voice actor. I already have Biddy. I already have everything that is in most demand. But the second most demand is exactly that. Is the grown woman or semi-grown woman that is able to do these not deep voices, but more sultry, but in a natural way voices, like a mother, like a very big sister. Like a youthful grandmother or things like that. So that is something that I am particularly looking for to host.
Yeah, because I know for a fact those are in big time demand. And it's definitely that niche, it needs to be filled. And right now it has not been filled up at all. The well is very, very dry and it needs to be filled up, and I'm hoping Ludi Heaven will do that, because that would be awesome.
Oh, I pray it would. It would open up so many more avenues for me.
Yeah, and I feel like those people could get a lot of work if this goes well, because Hydro and Miel have said there's so much demand for that kind of thing, because pretty often, I think even like most of the time, the Lolly or Shota is paired up with like an adult character. It's like a man or a woman, so people who can do an adult woman or adult man voice and are comfortable with the subject would be like super useful for all these animations and stories and games and stuff.
And let's not forget that there's also like the segment of Anthro artists that do Cub stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they also look for voice actors as well for their characters and their games or their animations. So, you know, it's definitely, I know for a fact it's heavily in demand. I know of one artist, well, actually, Glassfish, our first guest that we had, she had created an animation that recently where she wanted to have voices in it. She wanted to have kind of like a more like younger woman, like older teenager, younger adult female voice who was kind of like a lower pitched voice. And then she wanted to have a Shota voice, but she could find one person, but then that person would drop out, or she'd find somebody who could do like the kind of milfy kind of sultry voice, but then they'd be like, oh no, but it's got Shota, I don't want to do it. So she ended up having to release the animation with no audio.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, and she was just like, well, you know, if I can hopefully get around to adding the audio later, that would be great. But there you go. There's an example of where, like, if you created Ludi Heaven and it starts building up all these kind of like a voice actor directory is almost what I'm thinking of. And of course it won't just have that. It'll have other users and people just like a brag. But it's like, if you can have it set up in a way where like the featured content creators are a lot of voice actors and stuff like that, they'll get noticed more. And then artists like Glassfish now have a place they can go to and can find and curate from all these different voice actors, like, and of course, Dr. X and myself, we would be like, oh, yes. So we'd be like, finally a place where we can go to and find it.
Yep, exactly. That would be amazing.
That's the goal.
Yeah. And right now, Ludi Heaven is currently down, but you're working on getting it back up.
Because, yeah, like, I mean, that's, of course, the other challenge, being a creator of Shota and Lolly, and we've talked about this a little bit, but not necessarily on the website or like the hosting aspect. Pretty much like with IA, Dr. X and I know this all too well. We were trying to host our game, especially IA2, on some kind of file server that was reliable and fast. And it was nigh impossible to find anything, because we would either go onto a site and upload it and then it would get removed, or our account would get banned, or we would find a site that would allow it and they'd be like, oh yeah, you can upload whatever you want, and then you upload it and it will download it like 50 kilobytes per second and take like 8 hours to download the game.
Yeah.
And so we ultimately had to say to ourselves, all right, well, you know what? We just have to bite the bullet and purchase our own server to host it. And ultimately, yeah, it may cost a little bit of money per month, but that has been significantly better for us to be able to host our own server.
Hey, you gotta do what you gotta do.
Or, you know, the podcast as well, because people can just stream the podcast on the website.
That's right. Well, we're able to host the podcast. We're able to put the IA game up there. We can basically post anything we want on our specific site. And the cool part is it even has like an actual website name, like teamcyberhex.dev. So that makes it even more like it's more legitimate, I guess, or more satisfying to know that we're hosting on our own actual platform. Basically.
Yeah, we're in the big leagues now, baby.
Well, we do, and we do actually have a mirror host too, which is the cute funny server. Shout out to the cute funny server people. They're awesome for also hosting our files as well. That was huge for us too, because, you know, not everybody can, because sometimes when you have a game like IA2 and you release a public build, you get a ton of people trying to download the game and they need some kind of mirror host to be able to download it faster. So that's definitely huge for us.
Yeah, that is absolutely huge. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it was, I'm super glad we got that sorted out, because man, it was frustrating, you know, like hearing people say that, like, you know, they couldn't download from a certain site, either because, like, they were getting blocked, or, like, for some reason the download was banned, the Shota or Lolly, or you know, like, it was the download, like, super slow. Yeah, that was frustrating. And like we want people to be able to download the game very quickly so they can start jacking off.
Absolutely. Like, the speed absolutely matters, because something I learned in marketing is that convenience triumphs over product. Yeah, if something isn't convenient enough, people aren't gonna care about the product no matter how much they want it. It has to be convenient. So having that speed is absolutely mandatory.
It definitely is.
And that's why it goes back to, like, Looty Heaven, because if you make it convenient for them to find voice actors, everybody's going to gravitate towards that. Because when you have to put in the effort to try to find a voice actor by going to different Discord servers, and then you got to go to different websites, and then you got to message them, and then they might not get back to you, and then you got to get, like, and then, of course, their account
might be bullshit.
Yeah. It takes forever, and that's not convenient, especially if you're trying to work on something and get it done on time or follow some kind of schedule. Uh-huh. You want convenience. I mean, I frequently know that the reason why people still use Twitter, even though they say that they hate it, is because it does have a huge amount of convenience. You can just post stuff. If you're an artist, you can just post things on there and it gets retweeted, and it's just such a very fast, quick way to get yourself known. So even though it's got a lot of problems and a lot of flaws, people still gravitate to it because of that convenience, like you said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so, like, if anyone reading this is not on Mastodon, you should consider going there, because,
yes,
you know, on Twitter, Shota and Lolly, sometimes you can get away with it if you're lucky. Like, you haven't gotten the attention of the wrong people or something. Mm. But a lot of the time, people will get banned off of Twitter because of their Lolly and Shota stuff. So, like, you know, instead of, like, just, like, remaking your account on Twitter, or, like, you know, trying to, like, refine an artist who, like, remade their account all the time, you know, just consider going on Mastodon, on Bragg or Athe, or, you know, Looty Heaven when it's back up, and that way you can, like, support, like, a platform structure that is actually, like, hospitable to Lolly and Shota artists.
What's cool about Athe is that you can follow Bragg artists on it, because they're all part of, like, kind of like they're connected to that Mastodon.
Yeah, it's the instance. Yeah.
Yes.
Very, very cool. So even if you can't necessarily get on Bragg, because I know Bragg sometimes it gets overwhelmed with new registrations. Like, anytime some shitstorm happens on Twitter, like recently with that whole, like, where you can't read, like, up to 600 posts or some weird problem that was causing it to, like, a denial of service attack itself. There's all kinds of weird problems, and all of a sudden Bragg got a huge influx of people, and their server couldn't really handle it. And so if you can't necessarily get on Bragg, you can always sign up on Athe, but you could still get the benefits of seeing the stuff that's on Bragg. It's cool.
Yes, I think, like, as of right now on Bragg, you need to be an artist to be able to make a new account there. So if you're not an artist and you're just an enjoyer and you want to follow some artists who are on Bragg, you can just make an account on Athe, and I'm pretty sure those artists, Lolly and Shota artists there as well, because that kind of content is allowed there.
That's right.
Yeah, and, you know, like, doing this, you know, it helps Lolly and Shota artists a lot, because it means they're not as reliant on Twitter, which, you know, pretty often will ban them, and, like, they always have to start over, which sucks.
And screw Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah, we shouldn't, like, be, you know, necessarily be so reliant on these huge websites that that aren't, like, actually, that are pretty, like, hostile to us.
Mm-hmm. I guess the way you look at it is okay, maybe on Bragg you might get up to, like, 10,000 followers, but your 10,000 followers are generally going to remain there, because Bragg is going to be a far more, well, first of all, it's going to accept your Lolly and Shota content. It's going to be far more reasonable with you. as opposed to being on Twitter and you build up 50,000 followers and then you get wiped out.
Oh, that's so unfortunate too. Yeah. That's what happened to Biddy like quite a few times actually on Twitter. That's why we resorted to Mastodon in general in the first place, was because of that bullcrap.
Yeah, and I mean, I remember she was telling us on the podcast that she had posted a voice acting clip of an animation from another artist, and it got shared or retweeted by someone who had a million followers, and she like instantly got like 1,000 follows and stuff.
That's so fast.
But then she said something about voicing Lolly stuff, and that was it. It was just instant, almost immediately banned, and it's like, man, that sucks. It's like, And I can see how frustrating and how demoralizing that can get when you're having to rebuild yourself all the time. Because, you know, when you get banned, it's not like you're given notice ahead of time and are like, oh, by the way, you're going to get banned in 5 days, so you better let all your followers know to follow you somewhere else. It's like, no, it's like, bam, you get banned. And then all those followers go, well, what happened? Where'd they go? And then they can't find out where your new account is.
Man, I wish it was like that. Just give me a notice.
Yeah, they need to get notices, honestly, so that you know it sucks to like have to make certain changes to your post or account on Twitter or whatever other platform. But that's way better than just getting banned outright.
Oh yeah, it's kind of ridiculous how you don't even get like a 3-strikeout system. You don't get any advanced warning. They just ban you, and then they go, oh, by the way, you're banned. It's like, it should be like, they should say to you, hey, you violated these, you know, rules against us, and I'm sorry, but we have to ban you, but we will give you, you know, 5 days or 4 or whatever to say to your followers, hey, my account's going to get banned, or you even better would be if you could appeal it, but I know how these websites work, that they don't have enough people and they don't care to go through the process of appealing, you know, thousands and thousands of users at once. They're not going to do that. So
yeah, like a little tip, and this isn't in general, like if you're on a platform and you're talking about LOL and Shota, but you don't want to necessarily trigger the overlords, You can like each use different words for Shota and Lolly. Like I know small is pretty popular to refer to Lolly and Shota.
Well, or you can do because some content creators will do this where they will crop an image only showing like the MILF character, or they'll do something where they will do like a link tree where the link tree will bring them to, you know, where the spicier stuff is, like the Lolly and Shota, but you have to click out of Twitter, go to the link tree site, and then go to the other site from there. So it's kind of like you have to leapfrog, and like Twitter tends to not freak out over that. Like that for some reason, like if you do that, that doesn't seem to cause too many problems. But I think the general rule of thumb Dr. X was talking about is, you don't want to directly mention Lolly or Shota. You want to be like,
no, you don't.
At least don't mention it in like an NSFW context. Don't say, here's a link to my Shota porn or my Lolly porn.
Yes.
Probably don't want to do that.
Yep.
Man, not even that. It doesn't even have to be a link. It's just the word itself will get you banned.
Oh yeah. Well, but. That's kind of tricky though, because I'm sure there is tons and tons of people that mention the word Lolly or Shota in like the tech context of anime, like safe for work anime and stuff like that.
Yeah, true. The context matters, and also what also matters is like, you know, if there's people after you, like who will like wait on your page and wait until you say Shota and Lolly, and like then like mass report you or something.
I was about to say, let me reword. You cannot say it if you have infamy tied to your name.
Mm.
Because that is exactly what me and Biddy have. did Biddy tell you about my experiment with Twitter with her name?
I don't think so.
Yeah, so I personally created a Twitter under her name. And it was just a Twitter account. I named it Biddy Cat, and I just simply put the word Lolly and like some, I don't know, goofy picture or whatever. Because of the name itself, sure, it skyrocketed a lot, unlike Nyono, because of the rebrand. It was like 1,000, almost 2,000 followers within like 6 hours. And then after, because of that, the actual word Lolly Shota banned immediately.
Crazy.
Yeah, no shit. So I did another experiment to where I named the Twitter Bitty Cat, same thing. I didn't put the word Lolly / Shota, but I simply put name. 2,000 followers and counting. 24 hours, banned. Although it took longer this time because I found out that people are actually searching the word deliberately, Lolly and Shota, on the search engine in Twitter to report people, whoever says it genuinely.
Wow.
But the infamy itself, if you have infamy like we do, you will get banned regardless under whatever name that is. So it's kind of like a combo kind of thing.
All right. So it's like the whole thing where, like, because Bitty Cat had been banned before, people like will like report, like, if this new account named Bitty Cat, it'll get reported for ban evasion.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that sucks. And it sucks that also people are looking up Lolly and Shota just to harass people. Or...
Oh, 100%.
But that's why having a barag is a way better way to go, because...
Oh, so valuable.
And I know Bitty also got banned from barag, but...
She did, yeah.
That was kind of like a bit of an unusual kind of circumstance with that sort of situation.
Yeah, it had to do with the new thing we were doing back then. I think they just weren't really used to the idea that voice could be used as art.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're kind of breaking new ground.
I am. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I mean, I totally know that feeling of when you are like. I remember this on, it was really funny, when we had posted IA on F95, they sort of had a rule on Lolly and Shota, but it wasn't very clear. It was like very, it was very nuanced. And I remember when we posted IA, I was just like, you know what? You know how like there's usually like a goalpost, there's like a limit to how far something will go, and I bet IA will be that goalpost they want to move. and sure enough, our game got brought up under a rule 7 or something.
Yeah.
And basically, there was a debate back and forth that said, can this game be allowed? No, it can. Yes, it can. No, it can. And it just kept going back and forth. And eventually they reached the conclusion, well, it's not quite Lolly and Shota enough to be banned, so we'll allow it. So it's like we were the goalposts that, like, they were just like, all right, we'll nudge it a little further for you guys to allow it. And it's just, it's one of those things that where, yeah, like you would create something like the voice acting stuff and trying to depict it as art, and some people would say, well, yeah, I mean, is it really art? Is it real? And I do think it is. I think, you know, being able to act out a character certainly is an art form in itself, because you want to be able to capture the personality. And, you know, that's why I think voice actors in the, not just in the, you know, porn space and the Lolly Shota space, but just in general, don't often get recognized very much, hardly at all, and I think they should get recognized more because of all the hard work they do, giving life to a lot of characters in anime and animations. Without them, you don't necessarily attach to a character as well as you could. Like, imagine watching anime without any voice actors. It would just be like watching silent films from the 1920s. So now you were talking about that you do voice acting yourself, Meow, and you also, haven't you also been kind of working on creating like model rigs too? I don't know if you mentioned that, but I know
I guess I didn't mention that, did I? Yes, I've been working on rigging lately. And my recent project was actually simply art rigging. So I had Biddy here make up is it a model? No, I think it's just an illustration or art piece of a Lolly character, her actually, being the character. And I made her cut it in a way to where I could rig it properly, like as if it were a model.
You're doing something like live 2D.
Yeah. So it's live 2D, and that was one of my first practice sessions properly of how to actually do this. So me doing this is actually a bit selfish and vain, as you probably know about me. It is for passion, because I won't do things if I'm not passionate. But the main cause is money. I love money. I love the money that rigging can actually produce, because it's so high in demand. Everyone wants it, but no one can get it. So all I have to do is just be good, lower the price. That's it.
I don't even think you'd need to necessarily lower the price, because I mean, live 2D riggers do Lolly characters?
Exactly. Like I have the demands in my favor.
Yeah, you do. You have huge demand. Like this is something I want to say to you, Meow, and also other Lolly and Shota content creators. You should definitely put more value in yourself, because number one, Lolly and Shota is in big demand. What with like that niche audience, like where that niche audience is, they really want to support creators of it, because it's in demand and people love it. So, you know, don't undersell yourself if you feel that what you're doing is, you know, you're putting a lot of passion into it, and you know, you want to be able to be compensated and, you know, be able to, you know, eat and live somewhere and, you know, be able to afford things to be able to do your day-to-day life.
Yeah, just imagine being able to live just off of your show and Lolly stuff.
That's the plan.
You don't want to work on it in a fucking office.
Well, sort of the plan anyway. Actually, you know, if you want to know the full freaking plan of like what me and Yono actually do behind the scenes, usually she's actually the one who like runs all the Lolly Shota things. I am actually someone who is actually more in regular day-to-day ordinary business stuff, because that's what I'm into. I'm actually a designer, graphics designer, and I just simply sell designs, you know, media, maybe products on like Etsy and things and Amazon.com. And that's going to be my main source of income, since that's what I was trained in. But she, the little bastard, yeah, I'm looking at you right now. She's the one who actually is allowing me to practice more on Lolly and Shota. So my experiment pretty soon here is what can earn me more money. Is it going to be like more normal day-to-day life stuff, or is it going to be this? And money in my mind isn't necessarily just dollar bills or whatever. It's attention and multipliers. So if I have a certain amount of money that I can make, but there is a multiplier applied that will multiply over time that is greater than the initial money I will earn via a normal thing, I will go with the multiplier. But if there is if the multiplier is not as great, or it would take too long as something that is normal, then I'll go with the normal thing, because that just simply earns me more money. And so far, to my surprise, it is actually Lolly and Shota, the multiplier scenario, that is actually earning more money. So I actually have to invest. Yeah, so it's an interesting little problem I have.
Yeah, there's definitely demand for Lolly and Shota stuff, and The funny thing is, like, all the, you know, the Twitter bannings and stuff, and the bannings on Patreon, it kind of drives up the demand because people know that it's kind of hard to get.
Yeah, so funny thing is that as much as it absolutely sucks for our initial value, aka what I just described as normal people things, the fact that how many bans there are, the fact that it drives up demand is actually more profitable for me as a creator, because everyone is now looking for me because the world is against it. And as I always like to say, never let a good tragedy go to waste. And for me, this is a tragedy because it's something I love. But because it is, in fact, a tragedy, profit does come from tragedy.
Yeah, it's just like you know, making the best out of a kind of like unfortunate situation.
Exactly, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, of course, in the end, like we want, you know, we want Patreon to allow it, and Twitter to allow it, so you know people don't have to worry about getting banned. But like in the meantime, you know, in the meantime, we make do with what we can, and you know, try to, make the best out of the situation. Basically, if you're a show and lolly creator, really good idea is like to network with other creators and, you know, make friends with them and talk to them, because they can really open up some opportunities. And even beyond that, it's like it makes the community stronger. You know, that's really important.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of people that get almost like turned off by me in particular, because I'm so blunt about things, even though it is a good tragedy that you shouldn't put to waste, and I won't, for it to work, something I always say and that no one talks about for some reason is that for that to work, you actually have to try to fix that very problem. So the problem right now is everyone's getting banned. No one can network because everyone's getting banned right now. You know, go figure. To solve the solution is the thing that's going to make you profit off of that very problem. So to make the solution, you have to let everyone connect, you know, allow connections to even happen in the first place. You have to let people talk. You have to let people create even, which that's brainless to me, but that's a problem apparently. And one of my solutions, which is why I wanted to be on this podcast in the first place, is to let other people know that they can actually do this, you know, do it. Because with what I'm creating right now, that doesn't just profit you, that profits me, because it's a problem that needs to be solved.
Exactly. Like you can make a living off of this stuff if you can. It's possible.
It's absolutely possible. Yes. Yeah.
And I wish everyone who finds that situation ideal, where they just work on lolling Shota stuff for the main source of the income, I hope everyone who wants that can do it.
Yes, if they want to do it freaking now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't wait. Do it now if you really want to do it. If you need to train for a year, there's time. That's what I'm doing right now as a voice actor, because I can't do Shota yet. I can only do Femboy, but I'm raising my R1 to do Shota. Yeah, train now or do it now. Like, don't wait. Now's pretty much the time, really.
Yes, exactly. And that's kind of the approach I took with when I met Hydro, and I I heard he was working on a straight Shota in Sasuke, and I was like, I need to hop on that shit. And I'm so glad I did, because like he's been such a wonderful person to work with.
I mean, I wouldn't be where I am now without Dr. Rex. So like we pretty much are essential to each other in making sure that we can achieve what we have achieved, which is being able to create basically Shota and Lolly porn games and make income off of it. But the income comes from all the supporters who enjoy the stuff that we make. And, you know, the thing is that something like Lolly and Shota, there is always going to be a demand for it because Lolly and Shota is something that a lot of people are going to see as a very taboo thing or something that, you know, you shouldn't like it's just that aspect of when people are against it or people are saying, no, you shouldn't look at all that Lolly and Shota. And then people go, you know what? I am going to take a look at it. And then,
exactly.
And then
they,
and I mean, yeah. We've had people play the first IA who were not Lolly fans. They had played it for like the MILFs, like Simone, the mom and the big sister. And then they started playing it. And it was so funny because we would get people commenting going, you know, I originally played it so that I could go after Simone and the big sis, but then I tried out the little sister route and I kind of like her the most, actually. I really like her.
Okay, so want to know something freaking really funny about that? Is that you guys actually were part of my inspiration for marketing. Because, yes, and the reason why is because of your name and the effect it had on other people, because I actually did a year of research on the same freaking thing and you happened to be included. And I found it really freaking funny that you actually awakened that Insexual Awakening of people with a game called Insexual Awakening. And to me, that wasn't just a psychological saying or a psychological meaning to it. It was actually a subconscious meaning. And I believe it was actually kind of accidental, unless I'm mistaken on your part.
Originally the game was called Ancestral Awakening. Then Patreon whacked us and didn't want anything to do with incest. We had to change it to Insexual Awakening, but then Dr. X had realized that it actually should have been called Incestual Awakening. So the Insexual Awakening came out kind of as a necessary thing because of Patreon. But the really funny, ironic thing was Dr. X and I didn't know that there was a term called insexual, which means like not being interested in sex at all. So it actually ended up making a lot of like this, having kind of this unintended meaning of like the main character, Nate, starts off not really being interested in sexual stuff, but awakens to all of it with his family members and friends.
And that's what literally happens with like freaking 30% of your whole audience.
And the other thing too is we didn't like when I created or came up with the concept of IA, I wanted to come up with it because I really liked MILF characters. I liked big sister characters. I liked Lolly characters. I liked Shota. I liked Trey Shota. And like what ended up happening was, is we created a game that bridged the gap between people who liked Lolly stuff and people who liked MILF stuff, which there really were very few. There still are basically none. No games out there that have both that can intertwine with each other.
No, there's almost nothing, even to this day.
And yeah, and so that's the reason why we love continuing to do it, because you know, Dr. X and I love it, and our audience it really gets a kick out of it. And we have just a whole mishmash of fans that love the Lolly, fans that love the MILF stuff, fans that love both. And it's from this one game, we created a gigantic community of people who love the game and just like being able to interact with each other.
So funny thing about that is that a lot of what I've personally discovered is that the reason why no one's actually into both like that is because there's lots of clashes, I find. It always clashes. There's always this like divide, like something can't happen, something won't happen. It's like they never freaking synergize with each other. And all this requires is that synergy, that one single spark of synergy. And with you guys, you have the story and visual stuff, you have it synergized, which is why you're so popular as you are with this stuff, is why people are so into it. And with us, our problem is the fact that it's not synergized right now in the voice area. And that's like the problem we're dealing with right now when it comes to that synergy I'm literally looking for so desperately in our work. It's just not there because there's so much conflict, so much clashing, so much dissynergy, so much dissatisfaction, so much taboo that people are always fighting over. It's something that needs to desperately be filled. And you guys got a really big part of it already filled.
Yes, and I think it's like, it's like very important, like for like taboo creators to support each other in general. Like even like, okay, let's say like one creator like makes like bestiality or like zoophilia stuff, right? Like they make art of that. They may not like Lolly and Shota, but you know, they should still support those artists as well and vice versa. So, you know, it's like we're like all in this together, TM, basically. Because yeah. You know, we're all like getting fucking banned stuff. So you know, we should support each other.
I call it the Lolly Show Gang.
Yes. That's right.
I'm from the ghetto, so that's just how I do things.
I think part of the reason why the game IA synergized was because we never pictured the Lollies and the MILFs and the Onesans and stuff as separate. Meaning like I always pictured the family of IA, meaning the twin sister to Nate, the big sister, the mom, the aunt, they were all part of the same family and were not meant to be like clashing against each other. And I think that's what helped bring them to synergize, because they were not treated as two different entities. They were just part of the same thing.
Yeah, it was all part of Nate's sexual awakening. And like, and you, like, it was really important in the game that like it's really important in the game that like there's like a comfy feeling and like a wholesome feeling and a happy feeling, right? That was very important for us to establish that kind of atmosphere and feeling, and because of that, there was no conflict between the MILF aspects and the Lolly aspects at all.
Because frequently a lot of games and even a lot of stories will sometimes put in some kind of negative aspect to it, or will, you know, the really awful ones are the games where it punishes the player for like committing incest with the mom or the sister or something, and we didn't want to do that. And I think that plays a big role too. I think when you create a game where you want to put in Lolly or Shota along with like MILF stuff, but then you all of a sudden go, oh, but the mom character gets upset at you because you had sex with the Lolly and she doesn't like you because of that. Well, now it's reinforcing that clash again. That's just kind of a theory I have on that as to probably why that happens.
Absolutely. I would agree 100%.
Well, I appreciate you coming on here, Meow, for the podcast. It was a lot of fun discussing Ludi Heaven and kind of the future as to where Lolly and Shota voice actors are going to be. I think the demand is going to grow, and the potential to get them into animations and games is only going to improve over time. And especially if you set up Ludi Heaven, that is going to be huge. And Dr. X and I also feel that just the sentiment towards Lolly and Shota is going more and more positive over the years. I mean, compared to where Dr. X and I kind of were before when we first started IA, you didn't have Barag, you didn't have Subscribe Star Dot Adult, you didn't have Ludi Heaven, you didn't have Athey, and now you suddenly, you know, you had ATF, sure, but it was very limited. Now it's like the scope we're seeing is kind of, the bubble is getting larger and larger, and it keeps expanding more and more.
Well, that's what I predict, that it's about to pop.
Yep.
And it's going to be great when it happens, so.
And I'm kind of seeing, you know, Lolly and Shota merchandise being sold more in the mainstream.
It is.
Like at Anime Expo stuff. I mean, it's been sold there for a while, but it's like,
oh, it's not just the expo. It's actually online shops too.
Exactly. Like they're selling like physical merchandise of Lolly and Shota that ships from the United States. So it's just, you know, people are growing balls and you know, and selling this stuff physically and like more and more, you know. And you know, that's not gonna stop. It's because the more that happens, the more people are going to be comfortable buying that stuff and saying, you know, I'm a Shotokan, I'm a Lolicon, and more people being interested in selling that stuff and making that stuff. And it's just going to continue. And, you know, those are some of the reasons why me and Hydro are very optimistic about the future and optimistic about how things are right now, too.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Should be.
It's going to be awesome. And, you know, I it's exciting that we're seeing it happen before our eyes, and it's only developing better and better.